In a world crying out for a top 10 show. John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10. Take it away, boys. Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Top 10 Show. I am John Rocha.
I am Matt Nost.
And, dude, I am super excited to welcome our guest onto the show.
Oh, jumping right into it.
Yeah, to talk about this. If we're going to have some banter here. I don't want to leave because we'll go for 25 minutes.
Yeah, but normally we make the guests wait, sweat it out for just a little
okay,
while.
Okay, sure, we can do that.
So this every is one of your friends. So it's maybe it's you giving your friends the hi-hat that we've invited on here, and I'm just accustomed to that.
Well, I think it's because it's a lady. I feel the need to be more respectful in the situation. The dudes can wait.
Fuck that.
Oh!
Same. We do the same to her we do to everybody else.
Oh, that's your
They're
equal.
All equal.
You're equal. And yeah. I respect that.
You know,
okay.
Fuck off. You know, the show is about us.
Yeah, that's true.
And occasionally we let people in for some of the love, too. And be like, right. You get the hell out, though. This is ours.
It's not called the top 10 and guests. It's called the top 10.
Exactly.
I hear what you're saying.
Eventually, maybe one day it is and guests once we're old and just tired.
It's a variety show at that
point. Please come on and carry our water because we're so tired. We're so tired.
At that point, we're a business.
And I think she could.
We can do it. Yeah, of course she could.
I think
of course
she could. Some of the other schmucks we've had on, but, you know, maybe
Oh, please.
Not.
Yeah, I know. This is, she's elevating the class of the show. That's for damn
it's
sure.
Nice. It's nice.
Well, without further ado, let's welcome. You've seen her on the Schmodown. You've maybe had her carry you around or walk you around Universal Studios as a VIP escort. But most of all, you've seen her on numerous networks and YouTube shows as a host and pundit and a person who runs the Patreon for Schmodown so effectively as well. Without further ado, Emma Fife.
Hello.
How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I feel really honored that you feel that I'm elevating the class
Please.
Level of this show.
Of course.
But I do, but you know, Nost, I respect that you're like, no, we're going to treat her the way we treat any other guest.
Fair enough.
You're all the same.
Yeah. Equal opportunity.
All the same. As my former manager, please, I have nothing.
Yes.
As what? My only manager.
It's
I never
true. Yeah,
true.
You never had a manager.
Yeah, we never
otherwise.
Did.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
How
no.
funny.
The Dagnino thing's a little weird. So, yeah, I hear you. It's
I know,
weird to have
like,
a manager.
The Horseman did not have a manager
no.
until
no.
Dagnino.
Some would argue that we didn't need one, but we know we're figuing it out as we go along.
Thing though, I like Dagnino. So
yeah,
that wouldn't bother
it would
me.
Be fun, right?
I have zero problem with that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely a person with a lot of vision and opinions.
Yeah,
so.
That's for sure. We just did the manager bowl, which is already up, right? So
yes,
we can talk about
posted.
It.
Okay. Yeah.
Every number Tom selected for me in the third round, I missed the question. And the one number I picked for myself, I got it right. So for the future.
So what the manager picks?
The
no,
player.
It wasn't that. It was that in the manager bowl, some of these managers were acting as though they personally were competing.
Yes.
Who are the other managers?
Who would you think?
I could take a guess.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Take a stab.
Isn't Jay Washington?
Yeah,
sure was.
Number one.
Sure was.
I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Haven't seen. But
yeah.
Who are the other? I don't know who the other
Jay
managers
Washington
are.
Was. Yeah. Kaiser.
Who
is, he came in with Kevin Smets. He's his manager. And
the
now
dungeon.
He's kind of
haven't met him.
Yep.
Collected a few other people. Also, yeah, Robert Meyer Burnett.
Robert Meyer Burnett. Is a manager.
He's a manager.
Yeah.
I didn't see that turn.
Yeah.
At no point did I see it. Although that coat is very managerial.
I suppose
still wearing
so.
That.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's a, and a, cuts a real authority in some,
oh, yeah.
some nations. I don't know.
He manages
like the brain Heenan. With
yeah,
the jacket
I can off. See that. He manages the family.
Yes. Yeah. And then also Grace and Ken, who were
right.
the least participatory.
Yes,
managers.
They just walk people up and then walk to the audience yeah. and maybe went and got lunch, I think.
Yeah.
They were across the street at Wood Ranch
on
the margarita.
They enjoy it. It was watching it on the live stream.
So yeah. What is the manager picking? What is that?
They pick a player to play for them.
Yeah.
And whoever won got to run the league for a month.
Yeah, gets to run the league.
Oh, whichever
gets
manager?
Now. Right, right.
Mm, yeah, whichever and competitor won.
So who won?
Drew McWeeny.
Son of a bitch.
Who is represented by Robert Meyer Burnett.
Yeah, so now Burnett runs the league for a month. When... In the future, when they set it up.
Yeah.
I was going to give myself 7 title shots. I had all my plans set up.
That's what Tom was going to set up for you?
Yes. I told Tom, I was like, 7 title shots, Tom. Until I get the belt.
What, a title shot across all spectrums? You're saying if you lose it, then you have...
Yes, I wanted a one match against all the champions for all the belts.
Oh.
That would have been the thing.
Okay. I feel like, yeah, that would have been great, especially because of your whole all the belts.
Yeah.
And then I could retire.
Yeah.
I win it, win all the belts.
Yeah.
I've accomplished everything. I can retire.
You've done everything you needed to do in the showdown.
And I can retire once and for all.
I'm never going to retire.
I will
drag you
I come so close.
I know. You come so close to retiring from almost everything I've heard you talk about. And yet you still soldier on.
He has a new podcast every week.
Well, what can I do?
I'm done doing podcasts. So I'm thinking about doing this very niche wrestling soccer fan podcast. The Venn diagram is so thin,
but for those five people, man, they're going to love
supporters.
This.
I've got something to say. anyway.
And then does KO, does he have his own family?
KO Kalinowski?
Yeah, no, he's Grayson Ken.
Yeah, it's Grayson Ken.
They manage corruption. Yeah.
So that's what it's called. Yes. They're corruption. Yeah, corruption. I like the family.
With a KO.
I like that name.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Drew McWeeny's in the family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew Guy's in the family.
Okay.
Who else is in the family?
Who else is in the family?
Was Janine in the family? No, she's in Jay's.
No, I really think that's it right now.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. It's a small family.
Yeah.
They're growing.
Small.
They're growing.
Not very Italian.
No.
They're not good Catholics, I'll tell you that much.
That's right.
yep.
Yeah.
That's it for right now.
I've got ideas for next year. If I do retire or become a manager, I've got ideas for next year. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
The tournament will show itself to me if I am supposed to still be doing this or not. Because I lost again on this.
Now there are ancient proverbs for the showdown. Well, what the fuck is this?
The tournament will reveal itself
exactly.
to you.
It's like some Mortal Kombat setup. Oh, he got the special invite. The wormhole opened up and sucked you into.
To the island that just like, where is this island supposedly in
Are
the
you
Mortal
Frank
Kombat
Dukes?
Film?
Yeah. I'm here for the Kumite.
I'm blood sporting the shit out of it.
Yeah, something that's been around underground for generations. The Schmodown. Oh, that's great.
We'll see. Anyway, this week we are counting down, as you can see by the title of the episode, we're counting down the top 10 superhero sequels of all time. And this could be everything. It could be DC, Marvel. It could be independent superhero. It could be animated superheroes, I'm sure. Somebody's. I knew that might make somebody's list. Anything superhero related that has a sequel. It was in contention for this. And there's a lot.
There are a lot of superhero sequels.
There's
like
a lot.
And a lot are not great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not surprised.
Yeah, and it's not so much that they're not great, but as I was going through, particularly looking at some of the individual MCU titles with some very glaring exceptions, which have made my list, there were a lot that I went, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I would agree with that. Which is kind of like the hidden secret of the MCU is how bad their sequels
are. Because the individual ones are, because we think so much about the big crossover things. And one of the things on my list really is more in crossover territory
it's a sequel.
It's a sequel. Yeah, the sequel counts.
And it technically has a single character title. So
true.
It was really interesting looking like, most of the. Them, their first sort of intro movies were good.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them, too, it's like when you look at it, you're like, oh, they haven't really had sequels or they just straight up haven't even had their own film. They've only been in the crossover
That's
pieces.
That's fair.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
There's only been a few characters that have gotten
a repeat.
Certain ones I would love. I'd love to see a Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Definitely.
Which is coming.
That's my number one.
It's coming. So
yeah, it is. Yeah. But where's...
Exactly.
You can do anything in that world.
Yes.
Literally anything.
Yep.
Let's have some fun, guys.
Yeah.
Do some Guardians type stuff where you have to go to other worlds. Strange can do that.
Agreed.
But we're doing this for Spidey 2.
Yeah, Spider-Man Far From Home. Yeah.
So we had Homecoming, Far From Home.
And next it's going to be Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Home Alone?
Home Alone,
sure.
I think so. Spider-Man with those paint cans.
I don't know if I like that they're getting rid of the suit in the second or whatever after the first opening when he's got the metallic and he's on vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want him to go back to being that Spidey as opposed to having the advanced tech.
Oh, right, you don't like the spider suit?
I know. I like it for the context of where they've used it.
Oh,
but going
right.
forward, I like Spidey.
Yeah, you want a little classic Spider-Man action.
Yeah.
I like that. I support it.
I can respect that. If you hear any loud noises going on outside of our voices, we are at Collider, and apparently there's a late night VR session going on. So
I believe they're playing tennis.
They're playing tennis?
Oh, playing tennis. On a new, the Oculus, whatever the new one is.
Yeah, the new one, the Oculus.
I'm not calling.
It's not the Rift, it's the Oculus.
Yeah, the Oculus.
Oh, why am I totally blanking? It's the new wireless one, though.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Well, because I've played on the other one that they have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I turned to Dennis and I was like, where's the laptop? Don't you get to follow along anymore? Not knowing. He's like, don't need it anymore. And now this unit is selling like crazy because you don't have to have all that additional hardware just to do something like this. Now I might buy one.
Wow.
Well, because I didn't want to have to dedicate, like, figure out the laptop and all that jazz.
Right.
And do more of a setup. And it seemed like it had to be so close to a sensor before.
Yeah.
And now they're 15 yards apart.
Mm-hmm.
We have too many jagged corners in our place. I couldn't do virtual reality in our place. There's too many jagged corner furniture.
You can set your, like, safe zone to be pretty small.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's possible. I don't know how tennis, like, you'd have to run back and forth, right, with tennis? I would imagine so.
Well, most of the time with VR, unless you're doing something like The Void, which they have at various locations throughout the U.S., perhaps some overseas. I don't know. I've only gone in Glendale and Anaheim. But they basically have sort of like VR obstacle courses that have sensors all throughout them. And you're sort of as you do, have you done like Secrets of the Empire or the Wreck-It Ralph?
No, I keep turning
Ralph.
You did Wreck-It? Okay.
Yeah.
So they're really fun because you actually get to move around.
Yeah,
but most home console VR, in order to move, you kind of teleport. So it's like you just kind of point your arm in the direction that you want to move. You press down the button, you let it go, and then you've moved to that spot rather than physically moving around.
Like in the boxing one, you chugged your arms like you were a choo-choo.
Yeah, in order to go forward.
Oh, wow.
So maybe in tennis, you do something like that where you shuffle your hands.
In the direction that you want to run.
Yeah. Because otherwise, people could blow out like ACLs and stuff as they're playing on clay, like trying to fly around.
Fully expect to hear someone tear something out there. I fully expect to hear it. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, it could happen.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to do that for Spider-Man Far From Home, top 10 superhero movie sequels of all time. We're going to count them all down. Matt, do you want to tell them how the show works?
Yes. Once we set a topic, we all go our individual ways and create personal top 10 lists. We show back up here. The way a three-person show works is I do my bottom five. John does his bottom five. You do your bottom five.
Okay.
I do my next three. He does his next three. You do your next three.
Okay.
Then we trade one apiece. Once we have revealed our personal top 10 lists, we create the shows between the three of us.
Excellent.
Boom.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, man.
So I'll jump right in.
All right.
My number, lot to choose from, like you said before.
Yeah, there is.
Lot to choose from. So with my 10, I threw this one in just for me. Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
I have it on my list, too. Yes,
is it, in the bottom five? Six?
It is in the bottom five.
Okay.
Yeah.
What number do you have it at?
Nine, actually.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect placement.
Cool. Go ahead. I do not have it on my list, so proceed.
Well, this movie is so underrated. I enjoyed the first Hellboy movie as well, but this movie, it's a fairy tale. It's a dark fairy tale with a sort of superhero twist to it.
Okay.
And it was nominated for best makeup design. It didn't win, but I mean that for me, and also with all of my list, I feel like there is certainly context of the circumstances under which I saw it. And I remember going to see this movie with literally no expectations whatsoever, except that I kind of liked the first one.
Right.
And I remember just, especially when they go into like the underground cities, because basically the whole concept is it's totally a fairy tale. It's like there was a war between the magical creatures and the humans.
Oh.
And the and in the end, basically, they came to a truce where the magical creatures agreed that, like, they would live in the forests and in the secret cities, and humans would stick to, like, the real cities. So there's this underground city, and the Golden Army, basically, in order to control it, you have to have this crown. And so there's three pieces of the crown. It's great.
Wow.
It's so much
fun.
Well,
I need to see it, I guess.
And then the mechanized warriors.
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
After in the fight at the end, it does. And the story, like, I wish they had gotten a third one on that, because they're visited by the Angel of Death right before they go in, and they give... He foretells their future, you know, like the fucking Oracle of Delphi. And just like, wow, the stakes of the third one, and you've given us this magical realm now?
Yeah.
You're like, I can't wait to see a third, and they never got to do it. It was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so much fun, and it just really, I think, showcased what's so great about Guillermo del Toro's filmmaking. Like, to me, I look at Hellboy 2, and I go, that, to me, feels like it was directed by del Toro.
Yeah. Well, it is the most realized of his...
Yes.
You know, his imagination.
Yeah.
Because all the eccentric characters that sometimes are slightly jarring in his other movies fit, he chooses correctly how to fit them in and creates interesting ones. The cartographer guy, he looked like an old Scrimshaw. on his face kind of thing. And you're like, this is so crazy interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I wish they had made a third.
Yeah, Hellboy 2, Golden Army. Okay. So good. Revisit it if you have not recently.
All right, what's your number 9?
Get ready to say the words punt.
Okay.
And get ready to roll those eyes. You want to freshen those up? You know what I mean? Give them a little stretch.
Don't you fucking say it.
It's going to be Logan.
You're an idiot. Massive punt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a punt for you too?
It is for me because it's not bottom five for me.
Cool. Sure. All right, what's your number 8?
8 for me is Deadpool 2.
Yeah, didn't make my list.
Didn't make my list. I was back and forth between my 10 and Deadpool 2. So
couldn't believe it was, to me, almost as good as the first one.
Mm. Yeah.
Because the first one was just like this crazy anomaly. I didn't know anything of the character other than he was foul-mouthed, told jokes, and he has a couple like eccentric hooks type of thing. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
And to walk out going, wow, comic books have taken a turn. I didn't know this didn't exist when I read comic books.
Yeah.
So the second one, for me, the expectation was like, I don't know how to get back to the smarminess and just the – can he be that charming and likable all over again when you already know all the hooks?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was even more so on some level.
Wow.
Yeah. It worked for me to no end in the stupid little payoffs of like when they're scanning – the camera scans across the map. And in the middle, he's sitting – he drew himself in as a character like sitting on top of sequel money. Because sequel money makes,
I remember that.
Sequels make so much money. Or the cocaine that he does in the second one. That,
an
homage to the first one and all these like random things left and right. The Brad Pitt coming in for the most needless cameo.
Yes.
I love that he signed on for that.
Of course.
Yeah.
It makes me enjoy the movie that much more. The singularity of, what is his name? He's on Catastrophe. Rob Delaney?
Oh, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, it's Rob Delaney.
Just that character could only exist in a Deadpool movie because there's no way he gets that much run in any other superhero film.
Peter, right? Is that what his name?
I think so, yeah.
The character's name. Yeah.
But there's no way. There's no way an average dude, and that's the second one. It's great because now the cabbie or his Uber driver, whatever
it is. Oh, yes,
He's upset because he's just like,
yeah, Dopinder.
What kind of bullshit is this?
Yes.
And it's just like he was, you know, you're my boy, Blue.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, they managed to keep a lot of the comedy. You know, so I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I didn't like that they killed her off. Like, I didn't like that because I really loved their love story in the first movie.
Oh, Marina
that,
Baccarin?
Yeah, Marina Baccarin. That, I love that.
It's the best superhero
film. Yeah.
And oh, so, yeah. Oh, 100%.
It's probably one of the most authentic love stories I've ever seen. They both just accept each other for who they are.
Yeah.
What a novel concept.
Yeah.
And I love that when they killed her off at the beginning, I was like, God damn it. And then as it went forward, they just had her as someone he referenced later on or had these visions for. So that bothered me a little bit. And the kid, I didn't 100% gravitate to his story. But that being said, I loved Domino. She was fantastic. Zazie Beetz, she was so good. I loved getting
Josh Brolin.
The guy Juggernaut. I loved getting Juggernaut again. That was awesome. And I loved so much about the story of him and Brolin. Yeah, all that was great as well. I just wished there was these other parts of it that worked just as much as the first one did for me. And unfortunately, that's why I didn't make my list. Now, this is not a good movie. It just didn't make my top 10.
Yeah. As I say, I went back and forth on this one and the one that I did put in my number 10 slot. So I'll talk about that when I get to it.
All right. There's a preview.
Or when somebody else gets to it.
What's your number 7?
7 for me is Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, okay. I have that in my bottom as well.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Not on your list?
Not on my list.
Ugh.
Go ahead.
Well, okay. The second time we're right.
Yes. Here's the thing is I feel like a lot of people, they just, I don't know if it's that they wanted an exact repeat of the first Guardians movie, but I feel like this movie gets not unfair criticism so much as people don't look at the really great thing about this movie, which is the whole sort of message of family and your found family. And this is the first time that you get to see Nebula and Gamora really connecting in a way that really pays off in Endgame. And, you know, I love Yondu. And it's just such
his
a beautiful...
payoff at the end.
A beautiful story with Yondu and Peter Quill and him just trying to connect with his real dad this whole idea of, this guy's your father, but Yondu was truly your dad, and he really did care about you and raise you. Like, I really liked the family aspect of the story.
I agree. It was great.
Yeah, 100%. And I also enjoyed the fact that they looked inward as a story, as opposed to just sending them on some zany adventure.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was them, their fractured relationship.
Yeah.
And it's a story that I can follow along with and understand because I can relate to different aspects of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and a lot of people harangued it for that. It's like, oh, you tore apart the team for the majority of the movie. He's like, yeah, but now they can grow back together.
Exactly.
We can see that mend, and now they can go off with Hemsworth and have a shitload of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that. They can do the more comedy one because they've done the introspective.
Well, it's like what happens in real families, right? Something comes along, kind of separates the family sometimes. People go their separate ways, but then eventually they work back to each other and are stronger for that experience. So that's certainly what happens. Just because it's not my top 10 doesn't mean I don't love the movie. I do love the movie.
Sure, absolutely.
It's the second time you've had to say that statement, though, in as many different suggestions. So
I'm curious what your movies are.
Ego, the Living Planet, was great too. Seeing Kurt Russell
and him
have that conversation, and when he realizes that his dad has been doing this for millennia, just the anger
just
in his
face.
Yeah,
trying to create like a child that could channel his power.
But also, he is going to turn the hive.
The entire
he's taking over. There's no more free will for all these places if you help him succeed.
Yeah,
it's so good. I remember when we did the review of it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite aspects of it is some of the choices that Gunn made when Kurt Russell and Chris Pratt are walking down, like, and he's taking them through memory lane, where he's from, what he's about, and all that. And they have that little chamber that can visualize
the animation.
Memories.
Yeah. That was incredible.
All the different, especially when it got to the mom, it looks like a China doll because that's how he views her.
Yeah.
It is this perfect little porcelain figure.
All of them.
But that one was the one which is like, oh my God, that's such a great choice because it's exactly. He looks like he's doing good for the world instead of robbing everyone of you know what they call life.
Yeah.
And I like that we had more with Nebula. That was where you get cemented.
Well, because I feel like, too, Nebula is a character that's just gotten better with every appearance.
Yeah.
Because I love Karen Gillan, obviously. Mm-hmm. I loved her on Doctor Who, and I just think she's tremendously talented. And I feel like by the time – like, Nebula for me was an absolute standout in Endgame.
Thoroughly. Everyone's been asking me, like, well, we've been talking about that.
Yeah.
We've been talking about, like, Oscar, blah, 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 Robert Downey Jr. Karen Gillan is the only one for me that should be nominated out of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's incredible. No,
I know.
Right. Probably
it'll never happen.
It won't, but it should, because she's so good in
that
movie.
Yeah, she was outstanding.
Could they get two nominations from that?
I think it's more believable that you get a supporting nomination over a Best Actor or Best Actress nomination
in
a superhero movie.
Technically, they could all submit themselves for Best Supporting.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, technically.
But who's really stood out? And I feel like she did.
Yeah, she really stood out for
her
me.
Her journey.
And Paul Rudd really stood out for me in Endgame,
was great too.
I thought that he carried a lot of emotional gravitas as well as being comic relief. So.
Agreed.
All right, so moving on.
Yes. Yeah.
My sixth, then, rather, is Incredibles 2.
Oh. Cool. I did not have that on my list.
I've talked about it a lot.
He's a massive fan of it.
It's come up. This is the
I love that you love it so much.
It's been out for 11 months, and I think it's made three of my lists.
Yep.
Nice.
11 months.
Yep.
Something along those lines. I thought it was fantastic. I know that I am not a majority in that opinion. Don't care. I've stated my reasons why. I'll give you a quick Reader's Digest.
Yeah, give it to me.
Because they've heard me. A, it's hard to do a sequel this many years later.
Yeah.
And to do it, to still see that the family dynamic is even more rich than it was the first time. The role reversal of the two parents, but then there are great little subtle things within it. Like when she calls home and she's so excited about she's got this part of her life back and he's struggling with the family. The painting behind her is the same number of individuals in the family. And if you look it up, they're all kind of the size of who they are. And all of them are over on one side. And what would be hers is over here on the left.
Aww.
It just happens to be in the background.
Yeah.
But that is one little note. The villain in it is Screenslaver that is trying to get people off their devices because it's ruining their lives.
Yes.
And it's just a complete time suck. And they managed to do that with Walt Disney. And Disney wants nothing more than every person to be sucked into their screen at
That's
all times.
That's very true.
And the choices they make, I understand the flaws within it, but the balls that it had and the lovingness that they carried out so much of it, I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, I respect that. Yeah. It's a good movie.
Not on my list.
Just not on
for the third time.
Yeah.
God, how many X-Men or Superman movies?
I guess we're now going to find out what is on your list.
Yeah. I guess so. It's time, right?
Superman 2, Superman 3.
Yeah. All the way down the bottom five.
Yeah.
Superman 4. Superman Returns.
Superman and Clark, Superman and Joe.
Yeah.
All right. My number 10 is Blade 2.
Oh.
Okay.
Not on my list.
Oh, yeah. No surprise. it's not one of those that people go back to and watch all the time, but I thoroughly love Blade 2. It's as much as people love the first film, I think he got it right in the second film. Del Toro did. And I like that it's even darker than the first film. A more believable villain, a villain like Steven, no offense to Steven Dorff, but in that first film, it's a little dated to think he's a badass, right? And Udo Kier being it doesn't help either.
Yeah.
But like in this film, you have this new kind of vampire that has, in essence, a Venus flytrap for a mouth. And you're like, holy shit, what can you do with this? And then you put this crew together with Ron Perlman and all this. And you get Wesley having these fantastic, badass martial arts fights on numerous in numerous places that really works. And no, you throw in kind of a hint of a love story with one with that girl that's in the crew that's going after, because she's the daughter of the main vampire. All of that really works for me, and I think some of Wesley's best work as Blade. And then you get Norman Reedus in there. Which side is he on? I don't know. And you bring back Whistler. It's a little little Christopherson. So it's one I go back to more and more. So it's on my list because it's one I go back to and watch a lot.
Sure.
Because I love Wesley Snipes and Blade, and I got into a Twitter battle about this yesterday with JT and McWeeny and Bibiani, but I will defend Wesley Snipes' Blade till the end of time.
Is this the one where they open in Russia?
Yes.
And it's like a almost like a bathhouse and the blood comes. Awesome opening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic opening.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen it in so long.
I agree. And I'm saying that now, you know, it's not on my list, but you've now made me want to go back and watch Blade 2 again.
That's what I'm saying. This is one that I go back to. Three you can throw in the wolves, but 1 and 2 are fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's fair.
But isn't it the predator mouth vampire? Doesn't it also feast on other vampires?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it makes it interesting. Whereas Underworld did it cheesily, this does
true.
It like more.
But it's also kind of like, you know, Predator, the last one that came out.
Mm.
Oh.
Just like, you know what's more badass than a predator? A fucking super predator. Mm-hmm. And just like, okay, so a vampire, super vampire.
Yeah, it's like in Jurassic Park, how they just keep engineering more intense dinosaurs.
It's
why?
Yeah, and while they're doing that, they also dumb down the IQ of the screenplay.
He's correct.
Over and over and over again.
If I could drown that franchise in the bathwater, I would.
Yeah.
It's just once
a don't worry, it's gulping water on its own.
No, it's making all this money. We'll see. All right, number 9 is X2.
X2 in my bottom 5 also.
There we go. Wait, not yours, huh?
I just don't think I'm going to go back to it that much.
Really?
Really? It's the only X-Men movie that I like.
It's starting to fade pretty hard.
Well, not counting Logan.
I
think of Logan as its own entity.
Right. Even though it's a sequel. It's a sequel.
It definitely qualifies as a sequel. X2, I remember just that one feeling more emotionally invested in it than the first one. I think they did a better job at exploring the relationship between the characters.
Yes.
Especially for me, part of what turned me off so much to the first one was that I grew up like neck deep in the X-Men animated series. And so I wanted Rogue to be like a badass adult woman who had a bunch of issues. and instead, she was kind of a whiny teenager with a bunch of issues. And I've never liked Anna Paquin as Rogue, but she doesn't do as much in that movie.
Yeah,
so.
She doesn't.
Yeah. Well, smartly so. For the first one.
Yeah.
Let's shift to, this Hugh Jackman guy is pretty fantastic.
Exactly.
And so is Famke.
And Famke Jensen was so good as Jean Grey. And dear sweet James Marsden, he's so well cast as Cyclops.
Really is.
And it was, I felt like that movie focused more on those three characters and their dynamic.
Mm-hmm,
and that was always one of the things that I also really liked about the animated series.
Yep.
And I think that, the animated series did Cyclops extremely well, and that Marsden got to explore some of that in this film as well.
Yeah.
The whole thing of like Cyclops struggling, like, am I making good decisions?
I thought the Stryker stuff was really good too, with Wolverine having Brian Cox play him and the struggle of him trying to find his identity in the situation.
Now,
that's logically the next step. Once you pull him out of his loner life and you put him into a team of people, the motivation to find out who he is, because everyone else seems to know who they are, makes sense.
Yeah.
And so where he goes ties in that Weapon X storyline, which works so well. And then to have Jean sacrifice herself at the end to give you the tease of what could have been awesome, the Dark Phoenix storyline, is even better. Because Scott and Marsden, maybe not this best acting moment, but certainly her doing is incredible.
Yeah. When I was a kid, though, I saw this movie. Felt it, and I felt for him. As an adult, maybe I go back and I'm like, I might be a little cheesy.
But there's so much about them coming together too,
And I think too that ending excited me so much for them setting up what should have been the Dark Phoenix. I mean, I guess it was the Dark Phoenix.
It was.
But they also just redid it again.
I know.
By the same writer.
Yeah. And that's going to be the inverse, worst superhero sequels.
Right. Probably. Yeah. Which we'll do down the road.
Yeah, eventually.
Both of those are on the list.
I would agree. I didn't think anything would rival Quest for Peace, and then those two came out.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't understand. They made her look like a 32-year-old, like, can I see your manager?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the whole movie, she's got that cardigan robe-like thing, high-waisted jeans, like a white tank top type of.
Can I see your manager?
Yeah, the whole time, and I'm like, why are we making her look like a 30-something-year-old woman?
Right.
Like, what is? I don't understand. And it's like the full angst of, and we got to kill off this character. I don't even fucking care, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
You're like, who is that again?
Yeah. Don't give a flying fuck about that storyline.
Yeah.
And guess what? Magneto is off somewhere else, but humans are going to pull him back in. Just
Motherfuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like Magneto to just be around and involved. You know what I mean? Like, that's Magneto's jam. It's just like
problem is,
fighting for mutants. That's his deal.
With a lot of X-Men movies, though, it's the angst, the teenage angst of the comic book storyline that they just keep redoing.
You know, and that's, I think, why I like X2 so much is because I didn't feel like it leaned into the teenage angst. It was more about the adults.
Yeah. It's a great point.
Which I don't mind. Look at Spider-Man. It's great.
Oh, yeah. But that's what Spider-Man's about is teen angst.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But when they're doing it on every age group, this angst. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get it, man.
Yeah.
The world hates you and you're just trying to.
They're just fighting for attention.
Yeah.
And,
you know, it's you're fighting for equality.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yep.
It's hard to watch, though, sometimes.
So my number 8 then is Spider-Man 2.
I punt. I have that higher up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I do.
Right. Then my number 7, and this was really surprising when it landed here for me, is Avengers Infinity War.
Oh. Well,
that's a punt.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it a punt for you too, or is it not
okay,
on your list?
Can I tell you that I did my list wrong because I didn't think of, because I think of all of the Avengers as standalone films.
Oh, really?
I didn't include any Avengers sequels at
all. Oh, damn.
After they make a first Avengers, and you also get introduced
to
a couple
of
characters, that is an origin
story. I think,
so
I didn't care, and I think that I'm not alone in like Avengers 2. It's not that I didn't care. Well, Avengers 2 was kind of like,
agreed.
No, it's boring.
But I didn't even think of like Infinity War and Endgame being part of the Avengers series.
Well, that's fair. That's gonna be a fun list now.
Yes, it's gonna be real fun.
It's clearly.
But I respect
I would hope so. You respect
I would have Avengers sequels on here probably.
At its apex.
Yes.
It's nice that you have respect for that.
So all right, so we're punting there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so then my number 6 is X-Men Days of Future Past.
Don't have that on my list.
Me either.
You are both insane. That is a fantastic fucking film. Better than First Class. I hated First Class. And I love this movie. Yeah, I just hate First Class.
I like this better
tears.
Than First Class.
Yeah, this was great.
Flawed.
This is jumping back and forth in time. Wolverine. Now, yes, in the comics, Rogue is the one that goes back. Or Kitty Pryde's the one that goes back.
Yes.
And they did a version of that, didn't they? Or Rogue Edition or whatever it was. They did another version of this movie that had a little more of the storyline from the comics weaved in. But I love this story because you get a Charles that you've never seen on screen, which is an unconfident, not sure Charles falling into addiction, possibly. All of that because he's afraid
There's
of
no possibly.
Well, okay. Falling into addiction.
Definitely.
Yeah, all right. Because he's afraid of what his decisions and the ramifications of his decisions have on other people, the real life consequences in his world of that. You have Beast and his anger about the situation with Mystique. You have Jennifer Lawrence actually dialing into a movie as Mystique. Well, it might be the last time she's done this. Right.
Yeah.
And she's good in it, though.
Yeah. Now, the set, you know, pieces at the end are second to none.
Right.
When he's got the freaking, you know, stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's RFK Stadium, D.C.
Yeah. And then makes that as a barrier. Yeah. I was like, that is gorgeous. Basically, just like a fucking invading army. And just boom, now this area's under siege by me and me alone.
Yeah.
So good.
You get the Sentinels. You get Nixon. You get Bolivar Trask with Peter Dinklage. That was great. But it was so good to see Professor X and Magneto, to see them back together again, and that being Patrick Stewart and Ian McClellan.
Yeah.
Seeing that, but then seeing their younger versions and what Wolverine has to go through to bring them all together. And then at the end, when he fixes everything, that moment of Logan waking up in the mansion, and Dave basically said, X-Men 3 never fucking happened.
Yeah, they retconned.
And they retconned it completely to have Famke come back and James come back. And everybody, I was just like so – even Kelsey Grammer got a little shout out as Beast, and I was super fucking happy with that.
Yeah. I don't. I certainly don't dislike Days of Future Past. It just didn't really come to mind for me.
I respect that for whatever reason
honestly,
it does for me.
It's a couple of things. The Ellen Page in basically she just sits there and like waves her hands around an actor who's pretending to sleep. And she's like, okay, this we don't really need any of this. Like every time they flash back and like, they're almost closing in.
I was gonna say it was like almost a little bit insulting in a way that they just had Kitty Pryde be an accessory to her own story. It's like. She really, I agree with you, Nost. She really didn't need to be there. And I really like Ellen Page, and I think she's great in that role, but she didn't do anything in that movie. Yeah.
When it got to the retcon at the end, I just literally in the theater went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't excited about the possibility. It was just like,
you know what?
It's a clusterfuck.
But
like
I think X-Men. That's, yeah. And I think that is some of it, too, is I feel like I totally get where you're coming from. Yeah. The like, oh, we've retconned it. We're bringing all these people back together, which was awesome, but also not all that unexpected. I feel like they were kind of setting up a reset with First Class and then jumping right into Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, what can I tell you?
I respect it.
I love it to pieces.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff, good stuff. All right, moving on. All right, Emma, you're 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
All right, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 10, I had Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which we already talked about. I had Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, which we also already talked about. X2 was my 8, so already talked about.
Perfect.
This next one, you're going to get ready to punt, because it is The Dark Knight.
What? I can't punt. Punt. Matt, we have asked the wrong person to be the guest on the show, I think.
No, Matt and I have had a lot of the same ones.
Matt.
But the thing is, there's kind of like a few that are indisputable facts.
Sure.
And now you're going, hey, man, this fucking earth is flat. You're like, I don't know what in YouTube you've been watching.
I'll get a little more into my feelings about this, which I will 100% are influenced by how hyped this movie is. We'll talk a little bit about my psychological issues there when we get closer to it. And then 6, this is maybe going to be a pun as well. I have Captain America Civil War.
Ooh, not on my list.
Oh.
It's a slight pun, but it's my number 5.
Okay, great. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Civil War? I chose Winter Soldier.
Right.
I might have both on my list.
Oh, that's fair. Okay.
We'll go ahead and talk about this.
No, I love Civil War. Civil War was one of those ones that I went into, especially given how sort of lackluster the second Avengers film was.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously I loved Winter Soldier. It's on my list. It's higher on my list. Mm-hmm. But Civil War, I thought once the Russo brothers did Civil War, when I heard that they were the ones that were going to be doing Infinity War and ultimately Endgame, I went, this is in great hands. Because I feel like with Civil War, they did such a good job of making me understand why all of the characters were there. Mm. Nobody felt like they were a throwaway.
True.
And I understood everybody's point of view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Literally everyone's. I mean, it's a complicated story. And ultimately, it was about these two people, particularly Captain America and Iron Man, being at odds with one another. And you understood where they were coming from, but you also understood where Baron Zemo was coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of orchestrating this whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
for
I just
Sarkovia.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I thought that it had really nice drama. I really enjoyed getting more, you know, Tony Stark with his parents kind of backstory. I thought it was really well handled, and I loved the introduction of Spider-Man in it.
That's for sure. That's a good introduction.
Well, yeah, walking out,
yeah.
I think most of us went, that's the best Spider-Man I've seen.
Yeah.
And that was only 7 minutes of screen time or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, dude, I'm ready to see this Tom Holland version you got coming.
Totally.
It's just when I stack it up to the other one, that's where I'm just like, I really so much prefer this one.
Sure.
But
I don't find myself going back to Civil War other than to see the final fight, which is incredible.
Great.
Yeah.
Once you see Ant-Man go giant, and you're like, oh my God, a comic book come to life. Like, that was amazing.
Well, that's the airplane fight, and that's fine. Yeah.
But you're talking about between
the two-on-one fight?
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
So good.
And that's the reason I go back and watch it for that. But I have issues with the Zemo stuff. Because he's kind of like, to me, he's kind of a flaccid villain.
Because
he's pitting everybody against each other and hoping it works.
Much like Stryker, he's one of the few just straight normal dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He manages to get a one-up on somebody that has every advantage over
him.
Yeah. I like the Winter Soldier stuff with Tony. I mean, with Cap, but for me, it bothers me because I'm Team Iron Man on this one.
Okay.
I hated that he was like, fuck my friends, my best friend first. And I was like, what? Dude, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And so, because I'm so Team Iron Man on this one,
but
I don't find myself coming back to the movie that much.
But I feel like, from my perspective, that I thought they did a good job of kind of giving you the perspective of, yeah, obviously a lot of it was about him standing with Bucky, but it was also about him being like, well, no, like we are good people and we will be like self-regulating, self-governing. Like we don't need the government to tell us what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I read into that too. Just like, okay, so now we're just a puppet of the government.
Yeah.
And at that point, it turns into like Superman in Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just
right.
like you now are an errand boy for the president. Go out and do his dirty work everywhere else because you've had to sign accords and agreements and this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah, I'm split on that. I understand both.
But yeah.
Tony's, you know, forecast of eventually I want to put a shield of armor around the world would have paid dividends.
Tony did say that in Endgame. He's like,
but then what's the difference of that and where we're going to get to in Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
It's just you like who's at the controls right now.
Right, right.
But what if they turn on you? It's
yeah.
like why Lex Luthor always comes up with, you know, some sort of answer for Superman. You need that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lex Mr. Luthor.
Yeah.
All right. That was your six,
that
your
was
five?
It. That was my six, yeah.
So my five is Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay, great.
Punting for
punt, I have it
five
higher.
To three.
Yeah,
five to three. If it's in the 5 to 3,
yeah,
it's not in the 5 to 3 for me.
Ooh.
Okay, that's pretty high enough. Up there for me.
All right, fair. All right, what's your number four?
Four for me is Infinity War,
which is a punt from number 7 for me, and you don't have it on your
list. Any Avengers movies on here.
And Dark Knight is in your bottom five.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, Matt, we'll just have our conversation about Infinity War.
I'm allowed to have opinions.
Yeah, but
I would put Infinity War in my list for sure because I loved Infinity War.
You went 1, 2, 3 on strikes so quick that we would love to give you another shot, but that was, I mean, honestly.
You're not going to like my number one. Like I can already tell you.
It's like a cartoon where the person spins around on themselves and they corkscrew their own body because they missed the same curveball 3 times. Some Bugs Bunny does. Infinity War. I mean, it's in essence this late in the game, and they do an origin story.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The balls.
Not even that. Not only that, they turn the antagonist into the protagonist
you do.
Of the film.
It's another one where you understand why
totally.
The individual is motivated.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it was so funny because, you know, my roommate kept being like, I just, you know, I don't really care about Thanos as a villain. And I'm like, which made her not go see Infinity War.
Right,
and I'm
right.
I'm not going to tell you what you should like because that boils into the conversation we're going to have about my psyche when we get to talking about Dark Knight. However, I think that for me, Infinity War is the one that would absolutely be on my list if I had thought of Avengers movies as being sequels because Thanos is such a great villain.
Yeah.
Such a great villain.
Well, the villain never wins.
Yeah.
And Thanos wins. He manages to get everything he sets out to do, and he was the unstoppable force.
I just remember being in the premiere and the fucking silence
when
that film ended. Silence.
Dude.
People were shocked. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just watching.
It was so good.
Knowing though, the whole time, it's just like, they're killing off way too many people for this to be real.
Oh, well, of course.
Oh, of course.
The only two technically, but they've already been, whatever, changed. And you're like, well, this one or this one. I don't know what's going on here.
They found a way to bring everybody back.
Yeah, they will.
I told Dennis they were going to do it. He was like, no, there'll be no stakes. I'm like, I'm just telling you, comic books work. They're bringing everybody back.
If they they can make a buck, they're coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no point in killing them off.
The thing I also enjoy about this is that you really do have philosophies battling against each other in this situation. And you kind of, like on the heels of Killmonger, who a lot of people felt like had some legitimate gripes in the situation, you bring us Thanos, who a lot of people saw like, well, if it's indiscriminate and we're not judging by class or wealth or anything, you're just wiping out half the galaxy no matter what, maybe it's not such a bad thing. And even Captain America Endgame says it's nice to be able to see the whales again because we got less pollution in the water. You're like, oh, fuck. Maybe it's an ugly thing, but maybe he's not wrong. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, and it's so funny to me the people that try to argue, like, well, why didn't you just make more resources? And I'm like, because...
Yeah, that only inflates the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that that fosters more population.
Totally.
You know what this fire
needs?
More.
It's
gas. You're like, no, that's not a good idea, guys. I mean, at the same time, I don't want to kill off any life, but there's got to be a better solution. How about we all just go to renewables and figure out a way to coexist naturally as opposed to...
Well, we got so many resources, honey. We should have three more kids. Wait, no, that's not... No! And the acting as well throughout the whole movie, how this all happens. I mean, Tom Holland's death is like so fucking powerful.
Right?
Everything about it, all it leads to. And then Doctor Strange is so cool when they're all working together. And the frustrating moment with Star-Lord and Quill and with him not like him letting his emotions get at him.
The only time. Had you not done that... All of this would have been saved.
Yeah, yeah.
All of this. You are technically the one we can point to and say it's your fault.
Yeah, kind of.
The only one.
Yeah. And then you have that, like, just line of Doctor Strange saying 14 million, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, there's only one.
There's only one.
Yeah. It's so brilliant. Yeah, it's really all good. Around, top to bottom.
Yeah. I love Infinity War. It would totally be on my list. But I mess with
all the payoffs they get in Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
But I think for me, I would. I look at them as kind of a unit, but if I had to choose one over the other, I think Infinity War for me wins out just a little bit because of the exploration of Thanos.
Oh, fair.
He becomes a little mustache twirly for me in Endgame.
Endgame, okay.
Just because he's not in it as much.
That's fair.
He doesn't get to participate as much.
Yeah, but when we all know his rep, he can twirl his mustache, you know? He managed to beat everybody we thought were unbeatable.
He did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like a sort of despair cliffhanger ending, I guess.
So wait.
Three,
okay, the match number three
is Thor Ragnarok.
I have got Thor Ragnarok not in the exact same spot, but in my number four.
That's my number five.
Hey!
So it's all, at least that one made our list.
All in agreement. Yeah.
All coming together.
Yes. This is when they finally figured out Thor in an individual film.
Yes.
I've already rewatched this so many times.
It's so good.
So many times. There are so many good moments. Like early on when he's dangling in the chain in the theater, I don't know about this.
Yes.
I don't know about this.
Yeah.
But by the time they get to the portal and the dragon's head that gets severed off and comes sliding across, and as soon as it nudges against those steps, his eyes roll into the back of his head and then his tongue comes out and you're like, I fucking love everything.
Yeah.
And they just keep going. It's got the serious and the stupid.
Yeah.
To see Planet Hulk come to life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In this version.
Yeah, they don't pull any punches in this movie.
No.
Like, it's so great.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum
is so good.
So good.
Oh, my God.
When he goes up to be a DJ.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. That's just so great.
And in the introduction of Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie, too, she's just so outstanding in this movie. Yeah. And she just, like, falls drunkenly
off
that spaceship.
Puts her hand through a dead animal.
Yes.
All that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
But she's so badass. And he's great, too, because, once again, they figured out how funny Hemsworth is.
He's very funny.
Right? And so they put him in these situations where he's, in essence, kind of a fish out of water, relying on his old school male machismo, and none of it is working.
No,
none of it is brilliant. It's brilliant, even when, like, even in that moment when Tessa comes to go drag Hulk to go do whatever to train or whatever, and he tries to be a badass and he throws that thing at the wall.
It hits him in the head,
and then he gets back up. It's the little thing he does when he gets back up and he goes, like that.
Yeah,
like, every dude's had that moment.
Exactly. Yeah. I think every person has had that.
Yeah,
moment.
True. Totally. Fair point. Yeah.
I definitely also
always love a good Thor Loki team up.
Oh yeah,
and it's so good in this movie, especially
Loki,
when they're like,
"Look who it is!"
Yes,
he's doing the danger field like
when they're in the elevator and they're trying to go steal a spaceship and they're like, "Let's do get help." And she's like, "No, I don't want to do that."
Exactly, we're not doing that. We're doing.
It's so good.
But also, like what you get with Korg.
Korg
is so brilliant. Oh my God. Such an essential. I wanted him more in Avengers Endgame.
Yes.
And I was mad we only got one scene with him. But like,
still.
Because he's so good.
Yeah.
He got a good scene, though.
He did get a good scene.
Free Wi-Fi.
And Ruffalo was great, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was fun to see him get to just have fun as the Hulk.
Right.
Which isn't to say that, like, he hasn't had fun in the past, but in Hulk's most recent appearances before that, he was definitely doing the sort of tortured soul thing. Mm-hmm. And in this, it was like he'd gotten past that and was now in like some dangerous coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they kind of divorced those, you know, love storylines mm-hmm. that they were building up with him, which I think is kind of smart.
Yep. I think so, too.
Yeah. It didn't really connect.
It wasn't really playing.
Yeah, at all.
They joked about it throughout the movie. Hey, son's going down a big guy. Yeah, they did all that. Cate Blanchett, too.
Oh, my God. She's exquisite. Never, and Carl Urban.
Carl Urban is hilarious.
When she throws up all the daggers and hits the, you know, it's not a cathedral ceiling, but that great ceiling.
And just
you see the history that this place is actually predicated upon. You're like, that is such a brilliant little twist. Yeah, because most empires are built on blood.
Yep.
And if you control the Seven Kingdoms or whatever the fuck it is.
This was my defense for Dany. I said she was trying to do this.
Yeah.
And everyone got all upset. I'm like, no. So many people throughout history have done terrible shit so they can build a better empire.
We did a whole podcast.
We did. I'm sorry.
But once you turn on what you assume are just innocents.
Yeah.
Before that,
what do you think Odin did?
She took, but at the same time, we've seen her take out slave traders, and we're fine with that. We saw her take, like, all the people that she's gone up against were we viewed as terrible people.
Of course.
Right. And then King's Landing's like, no, there's some terrible people there, and there's just probably more than likely just people.
Well.
Yeah, well.
And she killed thousands of just people.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I liked, I liked Roka's argument, but unfortunately, it didn't play out.
No, it didn't play out that way, which I was really mad about. That asshole killed her. Anyway.
For Ragnarok. Great movie.
Yeah, great movie. What else was I trying to hit on this thing? Oh, the Rainbow Bridge stuff at the end. All of it.
Oh, yeah.
And the use of that Led Zeppelin song.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell, that's a great song to use for the song.
Oh, what is it? It's Immigrant Song.
Immigrant Song. Yeah. So perfect.
I love that the next day that was one of the biggest trends on Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really? Led Zeppelin isn't known?
I mean,
we're old, buddy. We're old.
But at the same time, certain things are just like, listen, if you're going to listen to anything from the genre, this is a band you listen to. Man, well, look, they do have enough albums that we wouldn't.
Look how many people discovered Paul McCartney through Kanye West. You know, that was trending on social media. People were like saying,
from what?
No.
People were saying after they did the song, a lot of people on Twitter were saying, oh my God, Kanye's so awesome, giving this old man a shot at being a star.
No.
Yes, this was a huge story.
This was a while ago.
Yeah, this was like 2 years ago.
This is coming back to me
they
now.
They did a song together, and people were like, hear it, oh, my God. It's a terrible song. It's not a good song.
This is coming back to me now, and I clearly repressed it from my memory because that's not okay.
It's not okay. So many tweets. People are like, oh, my God, look at him plucking this person.
They do a Sinatra, Stevie, Black and White type of?
No, it wasn't.
Nah. He didn't update his Michael Jackson? They just did one for a new generation?
Probably. So that was your number what?
That was my three.
Okay, so then my number five was Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. My number four is Avengers Endgame.
That's a punt.
Okay, fair. Okay. Then my number three is Captain America Winter Soldier, so that's still a punt.
That's still a punt for me. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Higher.
Emma?
What did I have? I had, in my five I have Logan, which I'm sure is a punt for John.
Still a goddamn punt.
I have Thor Ragnarok in number four, which we already talked about. Yep. And then I have Spider-Man 2 in
three. Wow, that high.
Yeah.
Emma, please, you have
again,
the floor.
Again, this is a circumstances under which you saw it kind of thing.
Sure.
I was a freshman in college when this movie came out, and I think that something that Spider-Man 2 does extremely well, in addition to Alfred Molina being just brilliant as Doc Ock,
he's so good
in that role, and such a great villain. Again, another villain that you really truly like understand where he's coming from, and you watch this kind of brilliant mind not fall apart exactly, but be used for bad things.
Yeah. Sure,
you sympathize with him.
You sympathize with him 100%.
He's an unwitting villain, which is weird to see.
And also, gosh, I love that, like, Peter's got a job as a pizza deliverer. Like, for me, that was the thing, was seeing this character who, you know, previously we're introduced to him. He's a teenager. He's in high school. I mean, obviously, you have issues when you're in high school. But it was cool to see him dealing with young adult problems and trying to balance being a person and being Spider-Man. And I think that this movie really nailed that struggle for Peter Parker.
Yeah, agreed. Really enjoyed the Peter Parker, MJ situation here with Kirsten Dunst. Like, when he's holding up that thing and they're having that interaction near the end, I thought it was one of the most tender interactions I've ever seen.
Yeah, and all the struggles that they have throughout the film, when they come back together at the end, it just it makes it that much more satisfying of, I know what you are, and we know what we're in for here, and we're committed to it.
Right, and having Doc Ock go... and take control of the arms and turn it all around. all and sacrifice himself. That was so awesome because he'd been such a mentor to Peter, and they really made that relationship work from the beginning, right? Because you're just introduced to him for the first time.
Yeah.
And so you have to go along with what they're creating, and they create such a great connection between them. And the fight with Aunt May on the building is great.
Yes.
All of it is a lot of fun here, and I think this is his last gasp as an enjoyable Spider-Man.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Well, because the next one is a train wreck.
Right, but there isn't even good scenes in 3 that you can defend. And to me, that's
I don't ever go back to rewatch it.
Yeah, I've
seen
really,
it a couple times.
I was going to say I've maybe seen 3 twice. But yeah, so I think that for me, it really emotionally resonates. And you know, I like Sam Raimi. I like Sam Raimi as a filmmaker.
There are worse filmmakers than I, that's for sure. So
I just connect less and less with Toby as time goes on.
Oh, okay.
Sure, and I will totally agree that he is not the greatest of Spider-Men.
The choice is just, who doesn't love Spider-Man?
Yeah.
We all grew up reading it.
Yeah.
It's just insanely fun character.
Totally. You
know? And even in the first one, it was high school, and it's like, oh, okay, so we got 21-year-old high school kids these days?
Yeah.
All three look too old to be in high school.
I think he was older than that.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's true.
Him, Kristen, and then
and Franco.
All right.
But the train moment is incredible.
It is.
All of it, and moments.
Then being passed back like he's Christ. And it's incredible. And the kid saying, we'll keep your secret.
I love that scene.
That's such a great scene. It's like shows you that connection Spider-Man has with New York.
Yeah, and I think that is the thing that this movie does incredibly well, and that kind of feeds into that is the whole idea that it's very focused on interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, I think the thing that's really appealing about Spider-Man in general. I think this is a great Spider-Man story. Mm-hmm. Is it necessarily the best Spider-Man? Is it the best performance by a Spider-Man? No.
Right.
But it's a good Spider-Man story.
Yeah, it's the only one I go back and watch of the Raimis.
Yeah.
I do not go back and watch one at all.
Yeah. 1 and 3, no chance.
Mm-hmm.
2 would be the only one that I watch.
Fair. All right, so we're up to your number 2 most.
2 is Endgame.
Okay. Not on Emma's list.
Yeah, for the sheer accomplishment of you managed to wrap up 21 movies.
Yes. Yeah.
21 movies. That's so impressive. To everybody on all kinds of, the only fault that the movie has is that you had to have seen so many other films to get the payoffs for all these characters.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the vast majority of cinema goers have seen the bulk of these movies.
Well, the fact that it made over $2.5 billion means a lot of people went back and saw those movies.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would kick off of my list to put some Avengers movies on here because I like the stuff on my list. But it would be on my list.
Yeah.
It would be. No, Endgame was great. Yeah, as I say, I think for me, Infinity War, I prefer just a little tiny bit because I really, really enjoy what they do with Thanos in that film. However, I do also really love all of Nebula's stuff so much in Endgame that it's hard for me to pick.
That's why I like it. The Nebula story is great. I love the fat Thor stuff. I love it.
I do too. So
as a guy who's always struggled with his weight, I felt such a connection with him.
Okay, I want to say something about this because there was a lot of... There were all these people that were crying, you know, like it's fat shaming and blah, blah, blah. But there were just as many people who were not as loud that went, no, I looked at this and I went, oh, it's a superhero I can cosplay.
Yeah,
I lived that. That was my 20s.
Right.
Yeah.
Fat alcoholic.
Yeah.
I did that for a long time.
Yeah.
To see that and be like, yeah, that's a, you know, he thought he was this indestructible god and he had a certain path in life. And that's why it worked so well with Thor Ragnarok. He got spun out to find an identity that he assumed was going to happen. Never put any thought into anything else. And now that is all destroyed.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know. When he can't get over the fact that he could have killed Thanos, and Thanos tells him he could aim for the head, he knows he could have stopped all of this, and he has to carry that burden of, I let half of all living organisms die.
And his scene with Rene Russo when he goes back to Asgard, my God.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, so
and
good.
And her just seeing him and saying, oh, you're not the Thor I know.
Right.
But still being there to listen and offer advice and just accepting that this was a thing that he was doing and something was going on and it was important. Oh, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah, and tell him to eat a salad. That's a mom.
Yeah.
A mom would do that.
Well, yeah.
And more often than not, if I was watching it, I would think that is contrived to put him in the day that she is going to die.
Right.
And then I'm watching it. I was like, this is just brilliant. Because when he's like, you have to know something. And she's like, look, what happens to me? It's fine. You need to worry about you. You need to go back and take care of, you know, your. She's a mom through and through. just like, wow, this movie's so successful.
Plus the Black Widow Hawkeye stuff is great.
It's
like
great.
When they're fighting for, on the Soul Stone area, and then you get even more with how Captain America is trying to do this thing. Mm-hmm. Professor Hulk is brilliant as well. The whole thing with Ruffalo having a great time.
And,
being Professor Hulk.
And Scott Lang.
And Scott Lang
coming up
absolutely.
With the idea for time travel, effectively.
Yeah. Which I thought
did love
was brilliant.
Too, when they're like, so your plan is basically Back to the Future.
Yeah, right. And he's like, Back to the Future sucks.
Is that how time works? What?
Yeah.
Been lied to every movie. And then Don Cheadle does it too.
Yeah.
He's like, in this movie, none of these?
Yeah. It's great.
But there's also and I think because I had Danny Fernandez on the Deep Cut, she talked about how the film confronts this idea of loss really powerfully, and depression and PTSD and all this, like what they can do to you.
I think another thing too, you know, to bear in mind with Endgame that I think they executed extremely well is the whole idea with Iron Man of being like, I want to obviously I want to bring everybody back. But I don't want to lose what I have.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I don't want to lose my family.
I think he had a feeling that was what the decision he had to make. And
hold on, what do you mean?
I mean, like when they say to him, like, "Hey, you got to come with us, or we need." And he's like, "Well, I don't want to lose. I got the family.
Yeah.
These are the reasons,
of course."
But I think the fact that he goes there first means that he knows if he gets into the situation, he's going in all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And so that's why his first response is like, I don't lose what I have, because he knows it's going to be a fight to the death. And the fact that he's the one that has to be the one that snaps is so incredible. Plus those scenes where everyone's coming through, when they all show up to fight, that massive war, you're just like, this is incredible.
Oh, when the portals open.
Yeah.
And all,
oh my God,
all the people come pouring in.
I lost my shit.
The first time you see Captain America get the hammer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that too. Yeah.
Or so good.
Dude, he tightens the strap on the broken shield.
Yeah.
And the cinematography within that, everything on Thanos' side is casting this really dark shadow, and the only sun, the only light peeking in is on him, like this fucking Simba, on Pride Rock, and it's just beautifully hitting him, and it just. If you're going to do it in any movie at any time, perfect.
Yeah.
This is perfectly timed. They did that over and over and over again. The I am inevitable to then switch. Knew it was going to be Iron Man. I am Iron Man. And when the payoff came, it was so deserved.
Yeah.
Just they did such a beautiful job of setting up the script and setting up certain things. The Hail Hydra.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
All the Captain America stuff. Like, what is that? I could do this all day. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
No.
That's such a great moment.
That is America's ass.
But also that end, when they're having everything go down in the battle at the end and they're all lined up, you're so inspired by that moment. And it's great to see that for the first time ever, if you're a comic book person, those double panels that you remember come to life. And you're
screen.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, for
this
sure.
This is so, so brilliant all the way from top to bottom. And the death. The death is not overdone.
No.
Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't try to win an Oscar with her reaction. It's legitimate. It's real.
Yeah.
She knew he might die.
Yeah.
And so when he does, she just puts him to bed basically in her own way.
Yeah.
That's so incredible, man.
Yeah.
What about, so from a woman's perspective, did you like or dislike when all the female characters band together?
I loved it.
Yeah. Really?
I loved it. Yes. It was totally pandering, but
it
I don't
so
care. I loved it.
But the possibility is what it teases. It
exactly.
You want that.
True. It just, when I was watching in the theater, I was like, what are the chances they all end up on this one spot? So we're just doing this for the
100%.
I realize it's a movie and all that, but it's like, God, this seems so pandering.
There was a little bit in Infinity War where it was like all the women in Proxima Midnight having the fight. So, the idea already existed. It was it totally pandering and completely unlikely that they would have all ended up in the same spot? Yes. Was it amazing to see all of these women like assembled on screen and to go, wow, there's like more than one girl?
Yeah. Tons.
And as a dude seeing that moment, there was, to me, it didn't matter that they were male or female. It was a badass moment that they all came together.
Yeah.
It was so
we're here. And especially the whole idea is like, because, you know, I was listening to a thing one time where it was talking about how it was on Wait, Don't Tell Me, I think. And they were talking about how they discovered there was like a study done that women tend to not do as well at Scrabble as men do because it's individually competitive and women are more interested in collaboration and teamwork. So to see all the women come together and go like, no, she doesn't have to do it alone. We have her back. Like, yeah. It was great. I loved it.
This is why the Shire Wolves are champs. God damn it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hear about the guy that won the French whatever Scrabble tournament? He doesn't speak a lick of it. He just memorized the dictionary.
Oh, my God.
And you see a picture of the dude and be like, you look like the type of guy that would just sit and memorize a French dictionary and win Scrabble. He's one of the world's best players.
Yes.
He's an English speaker or whatever. I just read the article and I was like, that's fucking...
Baguette. There we go. All right, so that was...
That's my two.
Which that was your two.
My two is The Dark Knight.
Okay.
That's a punt.
Yes.
Oh, still a punt.
Oh, because he's still got it at the top.
Right, well, I knew what your number one was going to be.
Damn right you did. What's your number two? Emma?
Notice how your two is much closer to my one as opposed to your one to my
My two
nine.
Is...
I can sleep with myself.
My two is Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Winter Soldier is a great... it's a really great standalone film.
Yeah.
Which is something that, you know, so much of the MCU, I feel like they're playing to build up these big event things. Mm-hmm. And even as a sequel to First Avenger, it does really great on its own. Mm-hmm. And it's also the first time that we see Cap out on his own in the modern era, because the first time we see him again in the modern day is in the First Avengers film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so here we see him trying to adapt to living life in the, you know, in the present, so to speak. I love the introduction of Anthony Mackie as Falcon. Their friendship is just so inspiring and great, and all, of course, obviously pays off in Endgame. Yeah. And also, this is a great movie for Black Widow.
Yes.
It's a great movie for Natasha. Yeah. Because before that, it's like, she's great in Avengers, but like, when did she come in? Iron Man 2?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were
it's
like,
a terrible introduction in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
It's sex pot. And you're like,
totally,
it's not Black Widow, son.
Totally. It's not. And in this, like, you get to see her be the, like, badass, like, by assassin that she is.
And their camaraderie.
Their friendship is fantastic. Yeah. And I thought they did such a good job of really establishing, and again, pays off really well in Endgame of the two of them working so well together. And then it's really interesting in Civil War where she's kind of more on Iron Man's side originally and she makes the switch. Oh, my God. This is like top tier Black Widow stuff for me.
It's a brilliant 70s political thriller.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Spy film.
Yeah. It's a spy film.
Spy movie.
That happens to be about superheroes.
Yeah.
This is always the best of the genre when they just happen to be superheroes, but the real human shit is going on. This film's all about the betrayal of the government.
Yep.
Figuring out like who's on whose side.
Yes.
Right. And then the conversation that Nick Fury and Captain America have about monitoring people about how we're building we're spying and we're doing all the we're violating our ethics, our morals, our principles
left and right
as a country just to stay alive as a country. Then what do we really stand for? Such a great philosophical discussion to throw into a superhero film, for fuck's sake. When people bash the genre and go, oh, we don't need to know, I go insane because I go, you haven't really fucking watched it, have you?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of shit in here that's real, that appeals, that are actual concepts that are going on in the world and people are fighting about now, and you're going to talk to me and think it's because of tights? You're an idiot. And the other thing is the fight scene in the elevator. That's just incredible stuff.
That's the opening where he jumps out of a plane and lands in the water.
That's exactly how it opens.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, I remember that panel from the comic book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a nice little homage to something that I grew up, because I never really read Cap all that much because I didn't find him compelling.
Right.
So when the first one came out, I was like, yeah, I understand why you got to do it. He's one of, you know, he's going to lead the Avengers. I totally get it. And to see him the first movie I'm not the biggest fan of. I have my reasons.
The first Avenger, right?
Oh. No, the first Captain America.
First Captain America. I like it.
I do too.
A lot.
he turns into God.
Yeah, because he is God.
But instantly?
Yeah.
He gets the serum and suddenly he can run 35 miles an hour. He can jump and
doesn't matter,
swim
he still
after
can't save his best friend.
Yeah.
Dude, he figures out how to fly that missile plane thing.
Yeah.
Never flown in his life, but somehow can get behind the stick of a moving object that is flying away and then pilot it into the back of the plane.
That's why he's Captain America.
The statistical chance of that, though, is so low.
That's America.
Whereas in this one, it grounds it in reality. You know who can take out a superhero?
Yes.
Is a massive bureaucracy because there's too many heads to cut off at once.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man. That's just – it's like the old Greek mythology where you cut the dragon's head
off. The Hydra.
Yeah, the Hydra, and then two more go up in its place. And you're like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? There's no way to snuff this out.
Yep.
It's just a great foil for him. And the spy thriller, you know, aspect of it. Anybody can get sucked in. Make him Robert Redford a bad guy.
Oh, Robert Redford's so good in this movie.
So good. And that moment in Endgame is so fucking great as well.
Oh, yeah.
When he shows
back
up. Oh, I lost my shit scene. I was like, oh my God. It's all right.
Yep.
We're doing that.
So Winter Soldier, A++ movie for me.
All right.
So
all
right. My one is Dark Knight.
Okay.
So you're two and you're
Seven.
We've spoken about it.
So, all right. Here is the thing. I really do love Dark Knight, and when I saw it in the movie theater initially, I really genuinely loved it. Mm-hmm. It was so many years of people yelling about how much I should like this movie that made me go, Yeah, it's fine. It's a good movie.
Oh wow.
You know what I mean? Like when somebody tells me that I should like something, I immediately clam up and go, I don't know if I'm going to
actually
like this.
But you'd already made your mind up.
I know, but it's been so many years. It's this and all the X-Men movies. So many years of people yelling at me about how friggin' fantastic they are.
Well, the X-Men ones, they're crazy.
No, I know. But. And I respect that this is a great film. Yeah. I have it in my top 10 list for sure, but it's just not one that I go back and watch all that often, and I think it really is because of people yelling at me about how great it is.
And this is actually a really interesting approach to the movie because our lists, we've said this from the first episode, are subjective lists.
Yeah.
They're our lists.
Yeah, totally.
And they're ranked
by... As I said, you're going to hate my number one,
God, this is going to be fun.
We don't have
either of your lists.
Oh, shit. It's Quest for Peace, for fuck's sake.
That's right. No, it's not Quest for Peace.
I'm kind of like, what did I leave off?
Oh, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be great.
I have no idea, and I'm looking forward to it. But
I got to guess.
But our personal feelings are attached to the films and how we rank them.
Yes.
So if this is why it affects you not putting in a top five or two or three, that makes a lot of sense.
No, I've done that with other films, but I hadn't seen them yet.
Sure.
So Animal House, I don't think is all that funny because before I saw it for 10 years, the greatest comedy
again,
of all time.
And I'm normally the same way of for example, I don't love Office Space because before I saw it, so many people were telling me how great it was. And with this movie, I think it's just especially because I feel like people have such a boner for the Chris Nolan Batman films. They're like, they're so great. This is what Batman's supposed to be. And to me, Batman is Tim Burton. Is the Tim Burton Batman films.
Okay.
Because that's what I watched.
Right, right.
As a kid.
Right.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that one, but Batman existed for me. It predates that, so it can be different iterations. We can keep going back to the character.
No, 100%. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's I love the Tim Burton Batman films, and I love Batman the Animated Series, which borrows very heavily from the Tim Burton films.
Sure.
So and I also loved the Adam West show as a kid. I used to watch the Adam West Batman show in syndication at my grandparents' house all the time.
Yeah.
So to me, Batman's a little sillier than the Chris Nolan movies are.
That's fair. That's so totally fair. Batman exists in multiple forms.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's a great point. So Dark Knight.
Great movie, though. It's a great movie. It really is.
I always want to re-examine whether I still love it every year.
Okay.
I always do. And I...
Guess what?
I do love it. I can't ever
still
pull it away.
Fantastic.
Yeah, every time I want... Because I like Dark Knight Rises, too. It's okay. I enjoy
it.
The first one I enjoy, too. But this one, there's just something about the magic of their interaction, Heath Ledger and Christian Bale, that just works so well.
Yeah, I mean, Heath Ledger's outstanding as Joker. He's really outstanding.
It really is. And the interrogation scene is one of the best, one of the top 10 scenes in film ever.
Yeah, and I obviously love Jack Nicholson as a Joker so much in Batman 89, but Heath Ledger's also fantastic in a completely different way.
Heath's a better representation of who the Joker is.
Then Jack.
Jack is you took the part and it's a villain and whatever, you get to ham it up and whatnot. And I enjoy
the
living shit out of it.
Stuff,
But Heath takes more of the persona of who Joker is, just wants to sow chaos.
Yeah.
That's all he wants is anarchy because whatever, everybody's a hypocrite.
Right. Yeah.
So fuck it. From moment one in that movie, it sucks that your opinion has now shifted Because I think this is just, I go back and rewatch.
Well, don't yell at her about it because they're going to move
forward. No, I know. Yeah. I need to revisit it. And again, like I 100% acknowledge that this is a fantastic movie. It is a better film than what I put as my number one. But that doesn't change the fact that my number one is my number one.
This is going to be fun.
Yes.
Have a guess?
No, I don't want to guess. I want to be surprised. I like it.
Yeah, true. We'll get through your number one, yeah. And then we'll take guesses. That's okay. What I want.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Okay.
Guesses.
One last thing about The Dark Knight. The thing that people don't talk enough about is, yes, Heath is great as the Joker.
Yeah.
But I also think there's an element to the way he plays the Joker that the reason why it works so much is you sense that someone you know could do this, could be this, could become this.
Yes. Sure.
He has this kind of brother or your cousin or some kind of aspect. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Joker in the comics is really unknowable, untouchable. He's crazy. He does whatever. But he always seems to be in control whatever situation he's in.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy is trying to fuck shit up on purpose to fuck shit up on purpose.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like the way the world's built.
Yeah.
Whereas Joker does it in the comics for fun, he's doing it as a political movement. And that is phenomenal about his portrayal of Joker. And you feel almost a sympathy for him because he could be your brother or your cousin or your ex-boyfriend or anything. And it's just mind-blowing, that aspect of it. And not enough people talk about it, but that's why I enjoy it as much as I do, because it feels relatable in the way that he portrays it.
I mean, what kind of family you got that you got?
I'm just telling you.
That could be a Joker, and that could be a Joker.
Sure. I think everyone, what does Joker always say? Everyone's one bad day away from,
that's
from turning into a criminal mastermind that manages to take out huge organizations with no money.
Certainly a criminal, if not a mastermind.
Certainly a criminal.
Yeah, if not a mastermind.
Certainly a criminal.
Just saying, that's rarefied air. You're like, I know like five dudes. They can.
Well, you know at least five. That's
I'm saying I'm talking as you now, Mister. That dude, my cousin could be a Joker. I got a brother that maybe is a Joker.
My brother could be the Joker. That's for damn sure. All right, number one, Logan. That's my number one,
of course.
I had Logan. I had Logan in five. I think.
Yeah.
I had it pretty high up.
And you had it at eight.
Nine.
Logan at five. He does it on purpose.
I know I won't go back to rewatch it as much as the ones I have above it. I just know that for a fact.
I've seen it 35 times now.
Wow.
It's an addiction to me on another level.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I would just say they had squandered the character so much that I wanted to love this, and I did, but I'm fatigued by the shit that you've given me.
Well, that's fair.
I think that's extremely fair, and I think that's why I didn't initially rush to go see it, but I do really enjoy this film, especially because it felt like it's going back to that whole idea of that, like, so much of the X-Men films where they have these big missteps is just, like, living in this world of teen angst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is very real.
Yeah.
Like, past your prime.
Yeah.
I'm aging. I don't know if I can do this anymore, but I have to because everything's falling apart. Like, it's...
Everything is when you watch it, right?
Yeah.
Time in your life when you
absolutely
watch it. Even if you go back and watch something, you can reappreciate it at a different time in your life.
Yes.
This just speaks to me now because I'm turning that corner as a man where, like, I'm at that age where things don't work as quickly as they used to. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I can't lose weight as quickly as you do. There's a lot. And so it's like, I'm still who I was when I was in my 20s or 30s when I was in the prime, but I can also see the turn happening and I sense what he's going through. And there's such a connection for me in watching his journey and how he doesn't want to help in certain moments because what it's going to cost him emotionally, because how many people he's lost already in this process, because he was a sensitive guy since the birth of Wolverine, and so he's had to take so many losses. He does not want the responsibility of another human being past Charles anymore.
Yeah.
And when X-23 comes in, he has no choice, and what it costs him at the end. And I know it could have totally been so on the nose, but having a younger version of him kill him is so poetic and noble. And you're just like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. You,
because in the end, that is what at times can destroy you, is like the younger mistakes, the way you were in the past, how it can come back to haunt you in a way and can kill you possibly if you don't confront it. And so him running away from it for his entire life, it finally comes to meet
catch
him.
Up to him.
Yeah, and what he says to her at the end, too, when he says, don't let them tell you what you can be. I let them do that.
Yeah.
Don't let them do that. And it's like, fuck, I cry like a baby every time.
I also enjoy in that film the sort of role reversal of like Professor Xavier no longer being the wise caretaker.
Yeah.
And now Logan has to be the caretaker, especially because like I saw that happen with my mom and her parents.
Yeah. Yep.
So to me, that was just very real. And the whole, like, just having to deal with this thing that's, like, really uncomfortable. And, yeah.
It's a father-son story in that way, too. If you want to go to singular, it's father-son, son having to take care of the dad. Now the dad's old. He's got the diseases. He's got the stuff going on with his mind.
Yep.
It so works.
The fact that his dementia could kill people.
Yes,
that's exactly. Super
I never thought about that.
My mom's mom had very bad dementia. Oof. So, you know, that story to me, that really resonated with me.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I bet it didn't resonate with you. No, Stormy. Let's move on.
I'm not saying that. You guys just had a much stronger response to this. I walked out going, I wish you'd done this 2-3 movies ago, because now we'd have a nice run.
100%. That's X-Men in a nutshell.
True.
Is why? What are we doing?
There are more misses than hits in X-Men.
Oh, no, way
more.
Almost all misses.
Yes.
Almost. I would say.
Really?
Yeah. Almost.
We're gonna stand firm with Dark Phoenix and
I like X2.
There's like two. Two to three.
X2, Days of Future Past, and Logan. I'll fight for those because they're on my list. But yeah, I would fight for those.
Yeah, but then you still
everything else is terrible.
X1, X3.
Yeah.
You've got the two standalone Wolverines.
Yeah, which are terrible.
You've got Apocalypse.
Which
you've
is
got
terrible.
Dark Phoenix.
Yep.
Terrible. Yeah. There's a lot of shit.
And First Class, which I think is terrible. But that's
I was
going
to say, there's the
other
one potentially.
All right, Emma.
Yep.
What you got a guess?
No, I don't. Like I said, I don't want to guess.
You don't want to guess.
What, you have a guess?
I have a guess. I will circle my guess right there.
Okay, okay.
We got.
Oh,
I don't want to.
Oh, you're not going to say your guess.
No.
I have Batman Returns. Was that your guess?
Oh.
I have that as one of my side.
Yeah,
list.
Sure.
Okay, all
what
right.
What was your guess?
It's Split. I thought you were going to go.
That was so far left.
You know what? Because
that, you know,
I don't know if you like horror or something.
I do. Do like horror.
Yeah.
But Batman Returns for me is everything that I love about Batman in one movie. Again,
I almost put it on.
Again,
almost.
Because I grew up, my first exposure to Batman was Batman 89.
Right.
I was 3 years old in 1989.
Oh, my God.
So,
I mean, I was 10. I wasn't that much older.
So Batman, to me,
this kid was in high school. I
was 19. I was in college.
19?
I was 19.
So that, for me, was my basis of Batman, was the 89 Batman. And again, I had seen the 89 Batman. I watched it all the time when I was little. We had it on Laserdisc.
Yeah.
And I also, as I said, watched the Adam West TV series all the time. So there were all these other villains that I already liked, including the Penguin and, most importantly, Catwoman. And Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman in this movie.
She's great.
Is outstanding.
Phenomenal.
I mean, she shaped, like, so much of it was like the scene where she first comes back into her apartment after she's fallen out of the window she's been revived by cats, and she's like drinking out of the milk carton and just tearing her apartment apart, and she makes the Catwoman suit. Like, I was terrified, but I wanted to be that.
It's an empowering moment. As a woman watching that, and I'm sure it must have been like,
and this is the first superhero movie I ever saw in the movie theater.
Right.
It came out in 92.
This is the first one?
Yeah. It's the first superhero movie I ever saw in the theater.
Three and they didn't come out.
I was,
often,
you know, so. I was six when this was in theaters.
Yeah.
But my parents brought me to go see it, and I vividly remember going to see it. And you know, the scene in the end where where she keeps getting shot. And God,
so
she's just
great.
Brilliant. And for me also, I forget, even though I know it's Danny DeVito, he's outstanding as the Penguin. He disappears into that role. I don't think of it as being Danny DeVito.
I agree with that.
It was an interesting take on Penguin, too.
Yeah.
Because usually he's this debonair kind of guy that trades on secrets and has power.
Totally.
Right behind now. He's out in front on this
one. The crime boss.
Yeah.
But he's kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah. And the whole movie is dialed up to like a 14 at all
sure.
times.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Again, it is definitely silly. This movie is silly, but it is dark.
Yeah.
It's funny and as a kid, it was scary, but also, in a way, I enjoyed.
And also intimate.
Oh yeah,
because that dance scene between Pfeiffer and Keaton
have great chemistry
amazing.
In this movie.
Incredible. Amazing when they're both in costume, but just half an inch apart from one another, and you're like, wow, it's chemistry you don't often see with superhero films.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it was like Catwoman was a character that I really liked from the Adam West series. So I was so excited to see her in a Batman movie.
Yeah.
And they just especially because I always liked the sort of back and forth and sexual tension between her and Batman, and they just like knocked it out of the park. So I mean, I didn't realize as a kid that I was enjoying the sexual tension, but as an adult, like, oh yeah, it's totally what I was into.
I liked it as a kid watching it,
and they just knocked it out of the park in this movie.
Way she reacts, when she finds out that it's him, you're just like, oh god damn it, why?
Yep,
I finally found some dude I can connect with,
exactly,
who's like seeing me, and you're fucking.
And you're Batman. You're Batman. Damn it.
That's the other thing in the Burton series, though. He gets found out as Batman just a little too easily.
Oh, well, that's fair. Yeah. That's very fair. This just made such an impact on me as a kid. It was the right time in my life. And this is the movie I go back to all the time. Because, again, it's like, you know, I Catwoman was such an empowering character. And she was this really great balance between sort of villain and anti-hero.
I totally respect that choice.
It's a quality pick.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now comes the time. That's our individual list. Now comes
you
want to
write, I can go grab bongos.
Okay, sure. All right. In the meantime, while Matt's going and grabbing the bongos, which I always forget to get because I'm just an idiot sometimes, we are trying to do a live show in Toronto. The tickets are starting, like people are starting to comment on the Facebook group. So if you haven't put your name in there, please do so. The other possibility is Houston. But we are open to all cities. We haven't done a live show in a few months, and I feel weird about it because I was enjoying our little run there for a bit. So I'd like to do another one soon. Yes, hopefully we can let it lined up. Yeah.
Or email us at thetop10live@gmail.com. And we will come out.
That's
Toronto,
right.
Toronto, we are very close. Houston, we're getting there.
Yeah, Houston, do a little bit better job, please.
Yeah. But please let reach out and let us know.
Yeah.
I think people would be very excited to see you in Toronto.
Yeah, I would. We're at 100, over 150 or something like that, 120 people who've commented and said they're going
to
come?
Something like that. We need to get the London numbers, which is like 150, and then we can reach it.
150, then we can go.
Well, because of the international. You know, it's one thing to go, but any dollar we make, we get taxed by the Canadian government.
Yeah, that's true.
More than likely the city of Toronto itself, and then the U.S. government once we bring it back here. So we need a certain number of people to show up to be like, listen, we got to cover expenses for flights, for renting the venue, for hotels, for, you know, all that stuff. So we only need like 20 to 30 max more people.
Get on it, you Canucks.
We're done. We're coming.
Come on. All right, let's do this thing. So number one, what do we got here?
Well, Dark Knight is 1, 2,
seven.
Seven. Logan is 1, 5.
1, 5. Well, I think 1, 2, 7 wins.
Yeah, I think it does.
Of course you do.
Better than 1.
Are you going to write or am I going to write?
It does.
I just grabbed these, but it doesn't matter.
You're going to write the bongos. Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Can anybody beat the 1, 5? 7
for Logan.
What about Thor? 3, 4, 5.
Oh, Thor Ragnarok.
3, 4, 5.
3, 4, 5.
I think 3, 4, 5 beats 1, 5, 7.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I have Thor Ragnarok.
I'm asking the crowd: 3, 4, 5 or 1, 5, 7?
3, 4, 5
seems higher to me than 1, 5, 7.
Wow.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5. It's more consistent.
See, that's two rational individuals in one room. It's amazing.
You know what?
It's amazing.
Your shifting allegiances are insane.
It's not shifting allegiances.
Please, you're gonna bash your next.
I put Logan right under Thor Ragnarok in my list.
Fine.
So,
Logan here now. Can I get Logan here now?
Yeah, Logan's going to go.
Is that okay?
Logan's going to go in 3.
No, I'm an executive say no.
No.
All right.
Sounds like you need a diaper change.
I'll change your diaper in a second here.
Oh, is that the new outlaw tagline?
Yeah.
I'll change your diaper. Yeah. I'll
give you a spanking. Winter Soldier, I have at 3.
I have at 2.
What do you have?
5. I think that would make it.
I think that would put it,
Don't you start that conversation now.
Yeah.
All right. What do we have? What do we have next?
I don't think. Do we have anything else all of us in common? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Because you. Didn't
I know Nost and I have a bunch of.
Yeah,
common.
You didn't have Guardians 2.
I did not.
Yeah, we both had Guardians 2.
Well, I got Endgame at 2. You have that where?
Avengers Endgame. I have it at 4.
I would support it at. Okay. At
well,
that.
Think, do
I
we
would
have
support
any
it.
Other commonality.
No, but I would have put Endgame on my list. I don't know what would have gone, but I would put it on there.
We'll put it on there. All right, we're at our sixth slot.
What do you guys got left?
All my top five are in there.
I've got.
Isn't that convenient, Mister? I was
my top five. In my top five that's not on there. I've got only. Batman Returns, obviously.
Well, should we?
I also have Spider-Man 2. You had Spider-Man. Did somebody else? You had Spider-Man 2.
Did you have Spider-Man 2?
I had it at number 8.
You have where?
I had it at 3. I like Spider-Man 2 a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
What do you? Do we want to put?
Batman Returns. my one and nobody else.
We're at 7 slot.
Yeah, we might as well.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like it has to go on the list.
Well, because you both said you considered it.
Exactly. And it's your number one.
Neither of you were like, that movie's trash.
Exactly. True.
What are the common outs? So we have a bunch.
Because we both have Guardians. We both have Infinity War.
We have 3 slots left. Yeah. I have Infinity War at 7.
I got it at 4.
Okay.
Where do you have Guardians?
I have Guardians at 10.
You have it at?
I would imagine Infinity War beats that.
Okay.
Everything
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? All right. Now we're to our number 9 slot.
that was a gift to me.
It is.
You can flip-flop them.
No.
Guardians in common and Hellboy. Do you two have anything?
We both have X2.
Yes, at number 9.
And
I have X2 at number 8.
I would imagine our Guardians beats that then.
What is your Guardians?
7 what?
10.
Ooh, is it 8-9 versus 7-10? Well, then. No, the one higher. We always take that. It was a 1-4 versus a 2-3.
Oh, because the 1-5-7 didn't get there.
Well, because 3-4-5 is higher collectively.
I don't understand that at all. The 1 drags everybody up. All right.
The problem is you have a 7 down there and you're not dragging them all the way up to a 3.
To a 3.
You're not.
All right, so what are we doing?
I would say Guardians then next.
Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy. Wait, over X2?
And then X2 to close, yeah.
Which one's the higher of the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians has the higher. So it's basically.
Okay, right.
It's a 5 versus a 7, and then a 9 versus a 10.
Right. Yeah.
So the 5 trumps.
So X2 is the last one?
X2.
All right. X-Men United.
Yeah.
All right. That's our. All right, let's do this thing. Are you ready, Nose?
What a list.
Bongos? The top 10. Oh, shit. Okay. The top 10 best superhero sequels of all time. Yeah. All right.
Number 10.
X2, X-Men United.
Coming in at number 9.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
At number 8.
Avengers Infinity War.
In the 7th spot.
Oh, I didn't write it down.
You're number 1. You're number
1. Oh, Batman Returns.
There you go.
And number 6.
Spider-Man 2.
Rounding out our top 5 is
Avengers Endgame.
At number 4,
Captain America Winter Soldier.
In the tray spot,
what should have been number 1, Logan.
Rightfully number 3. And number 2,
Thor Ragnarok.
And finally, you want to try that one again?
Thor Ragnarok.
Okay. Ragnarok.
I'm trying to do the New Zealand accent. I can't do well.
And finally, our number 1 superhero sequel is
The Dark Knight. There it is. That's our top 10 superhero sequels of all time. I want to thank the lovely Emma Pfeiffer for stopping by the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, this was really fun.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I did. I had a great time. Yeah. Yes.
I always hope our guests enjoy our banter because we can get into our world sometimes. Yeah, well, yes, I didn't want to say that, but yes, that's true.
I had a lovely time. You were very, very gentlemanly.
Cross your arms and go into a physical posturing on
Emma, where can people find you and stuff you do?
Yeah, I can be found all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife, E-M-M-A-F-Y-F-F-E. That is all F's as in Fred, no S's as in snake. I'm doing a bunch of different stuff. Obviously, you got a lot of stuff going on over on the Schmodown.
Yep.
Anime Expo is coming up 4th of July weekend. And on July 6th, which is the Saturday of that weekend, from 12 o'clock until into the evening, I will be hosting Destination Funimation Live from Lucky Strike in downtown LA.
Wow.
So follow me. I'll tweet out the link so you can check that out.
What happens there, Destination Funimation?
Oh, it's fun. We give away prizes. We talk with like voice actors and the ADR directors and apparently some influencers as well. We'll see.
Within the animation world?
Within the anime world specifically.
Anime.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
That makes more sense.
It's massive.
Yeah.
Any update on a 4K Akira version coming out?
Not that I know of right
God
now.
Damn it.
Yeah. But I believe that the creator is going to be at Anime Ooh. Expo, I think.
Okay.
I feel like maybe I read that.
Okay.
I'm very much in my little bubble of I'm just going to interview whoever Funimation brings
right,
me.
Right,
But yeah, sense. So hopefully there will be an update on
yeah,
that because that's something that deserves a 4K
it does.
For sure.
And all the Ghosts and Shells. I want all
yes.
those in 4K.
Yeah.
God's sakes. I only dip my toe in the anime pool. I can't go full in like Emma does.
Yeah.
So, but the stuff I like, I like. Like Batman Ninja, I'll defend Batman Ninja for a day. I love that nutty fucking film.
That, yeah. that film was...
it was
it's
so nutty.
Off the
rails.
Very strange.
Really so off the rails.
A great Joker. Joker. All right. Yeah, Matt, what do we do? How wrap up all the show? Tell the things. What do we got?
Nothing much. You already heard about the live shows and all that. Thank mm-hmm. you to all the people on Patreon that have supported us so steadfastly.
Yes.
We've grown so much in such a short amount of time, and it's all thanks to you. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to join Patreon, you go to patreon.com/the top 10 with the number 10. Hit us up there. Oh, corrections from my brother. Apparently, I kicked him in the huevos more than once. I still contend that it was just once.
This is our last week's show.
But I ruptured one of my brother's.
Oh.
At 6 years old.
At six or seven. It was a game he made up where the winner got to kick the other in the balls.
Yeah.
And I got
Dudes,
to go first.
Man.
Yeah. This is what stupid boys do.
Yeah.
But the TCBY part, that's when my mom figured out something was wrong, was watching him
waddle
walk.
In to get the
yeah.
country's best
He walked
yogurt.
Like he just
oh
got off a horse.
Oh, my God.
Just, yeah. So he had to go into the ER and they had to drain it and all that
oh.
jazz.
Dude, I used to get the strawberry yogurt with the fucking walnuts and the
I get chocolate.
Caramel.
And then M&M's
oh, at TCBY?
Yeah.
I was very much just like a chocolate vanilla swirl
oh.
kind of situation.
Too.
Chocolate sprinkles. I loved chocolate sprinkles.
No,
I don't think they actually taste any different than rainbow sprinkles.
No,
but
they don't.
Psychologically?
Yeah. They feel like they
maybe.
Do.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, head over to Patreon if you want to join us over there.
Mm-hmm.
All the live shows that we brought up earlier, and you can follow me online at Matt Nost, and that's it.
Yeah. Go to our Facebook group. We always said that, right? We already said that. And if you want to randomly buy a t-shirt, you can do it at shop.spreadshirt.com/the top 10 number 10 there. See all the designs we got. If you want to buy a t-shirt for anybody for July 4th weekend, why not? Do it. All right. That's it. You can follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. See everything I'm doing. Please give some love to The Cinephiles, the other show I do, and The Geek Buddies. We're building on that one as well. Completely different show than The Top 10. A lot of fun on that. If you want to give it a chance, go find it everywhere you download podcasts and all the Collider stuff I'm doing. Thanks, everybody. We will talk to you next time on The Top 10 Show.